From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, February 17th, 2016. We've got a great hour of Current Sports in store for you all listening right now. We will talk about last night's Tuesday night boys high school basketball action. I was actually at Okemos High School to witness the Chiefs pull out a come-from-behind victory over Carlton Valentine and his Lansing Sexton Big Red. Such a tough year for the Big Reds and for the Chiefs as well. What a game, came down to the wire. We'll talk about that. We will also chat about last night's big game, if you will, Grand Ledge in East Lansing. Folks, if you were not in the house for that one, you certainly missed out, including myself. Okay, that's the game I should have went to, right? But I listened to it on the radio. What a call it was. East Lansing staying undefeated. Steve Finnemore has one impressive squad this year. So we'll give you guys a Tuesday night high school basketball boys roundup. You don't want to miss that. We will also, of course, chat about the new acquisition by the Detroit Pistons, signing Tobias Harris from the Orlando Magic. Ira Childress, Okemos High School Athletic Director, will join us on the show to talk about a pretty big announcement. You don't want to miss that. And we'll recap last night's Michigan versus Ohio State men's basketball game. That and more. We're taking your calls, 517-355-9527. But hey, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, Tuesday night marked the start of a big week for the East Lansing boys basketball team. To clinch the CAAC blue title, they needed to win over Grand Ledge and needed a Lansing Everett loss. Well, both happened, folks. The Class A fourth-ranked Trojans remain unbeaten after edging out the Comets in a 64-54 nail-biter. Comets' Malik Adams scored 13 of his game-high 22 buckets within the first 4 minutes of the second quarter. But let's flash forward with 2 minutes left. East Lansing's Caleb Hoekstra hit a three-pointer to give East Lansing a 54-53 lead. This fueled a 13-1 run for the Trojans down the stretch, and the Trojans took home the conference crown outright with the 64-54 victory, seeing as though Everett did lose last night as well. Congratulations to Steve Finnemore and that squad. What a year. Today, Michigan State volleyball head coach Kathy George announced the hiring of JT Wenger as the assistant coach. The move comes after associate head coach Mike Golick was hired in January by Central Michigan University to become the head coach of the Chippewas volleyball team. Golick spent his last 4 years on the staff of the volleyball squad at the University of Colorado, and before that worked for 6 seasons for the UCLA men's volleyball team. One game after upsetting Purdue at home, Michigan headed to Columbus to face their rivals, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Michigan, without key player Caris LeVert yet again, they fell short to the Buckeyes, losing 76-66. This was Michigan's 11th loss in the past 12 trips to Columbus. Michigan's Zach Ervin, after the game, stated, quote, "They're the better team." Which is a bold statement, folks, seeing that this was the first time in the Big Ten year that the Buckeyes beat a team ahead in the standings.
Well, I think from the standpoint of where we both were in the standings, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're both 9-5 now. But this was big for us to come home, and we know with the stretch we have these last five games that we had to protect our home court.
That was Ohio State head coach Thad Matta. In the first move before the upcoming NBA trade deadline this Thursday, the Pistons landed a promising young player, the Orlando Magic forward Tobias Harris. The trade included power forward Ersan Ilyasova and the aspiring contract of point guard Brandon Jennings. There's questions about Harris being on his third team in 5 seasons, but despite that question, it's fair to say that the Pistons have upgraded their talent base.
Everybody standing at the Amway Center. Harris on the drive, rising, firing. He drilled it! The Magic win the game!
Looking forward to seeing Harris don the red, white, and royal blue. Yesterday, the Detroit Lions cut running back Joik Bell. Bell, who battles injuries for much of the previous year, was a Benton Harbor native and a standout at Wayne State University in Detroit. Bell had been a fan favorite since finding his role in the Lions' backfield. The move saves the Lions $2.5 million in cap room. Bell tweeted out shortly after his release saying, quote, "It's been a pleasure, Detroit. Home is where the heart is, and my heart will always be here."
Tight formation, handoff to Bell. Sliding, got outside, and touchdown, Detroit. What a run by Joik Bell.
Yes, certainly going to miss Mr. Joik Bell. The Detroit Tigers manager, Brad Ausmus, gave a preview of who is starting for opening day, April 5th, against the Miami Marlins. When asked if right-handed ace Justin Verlander will be starting on opening day, Ausmus said, quote, "Probably, barring something strange." The opening day assignment will be the eighth of Verlander's career. ESPN reported yesterday on the breaking off of contract talk between the Redskins and former Spartan quarterback Kirk Cousins. At 11 a.m. yesterday, Schefter tweeted out, "Redskins and quarterback Kirk Cousins have broken off contract talks per team source. No further talks are scheduled." Schefter again updated the situation this morning, tweeting, quote, "For those who missed it, contract talks between Redskins and Kirk Cousins have broken off. Sides still talking, but not much to discuss right now."
Good job.
Kirk back to pass, looking to the end zone. Oh, touchdown! He's going to throw it out to the left, looking for Garcon, and it's caught for Redskins touchdown. Beautiful catch by
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Kirk Cousins. He certainly had a great year last season, without a doubt. Ronda Rousey as well, folks, was beaten in 12 mixed martial arts contests into her UFC bantamweight title defense against Holly Holm on November 15th in Melbourne. But in a stunning reversal of predictions, Holm beat Rousey with a kick to the jaw in the second round at UFC 193. In an interview with Ellen DeGeneres yesterday, Rousey admitted to suffering depression in the wake of the loss. Check out what she had to say.
"No, to be honest, like what I was thinking, like, my thought, I was like in the medical room, and I was like down in the corner, I was sitting in the corner, and I was like, what am I anymore if I'm not this? And I was literally sitting there and like thinking about killing myself, and that exact second I'm like, I'm nothing. I'm like, what do I do anymore? And no one gives a shit about me anymore without this. And
Yeah, folks, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. We'll have more on what Rousey had to say on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or you can even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Up for giving Ronda Rousey boxing lessons?
Wow, awesome. She's pretty good herself. Yeah, I would do that.
You do that? Because maybe that's what she needs. She needs some work on her feet, obviously, after the Holly Holm fight. Maybe you're the man.
Nah, just everybody has bad days off.
So you think she'll come back and beat Holly Holm in the rematch?
She just needs to come back eventually.
Absolutely.
Do whatever she wants. Let me be happy to do this stuff.
Ronda said that she was suicidal after she lost the fight. Do you think she's taking it too seriously and she needs to, you know, love herself more and not be so into the fighting game?
No. It's just a moment in time. She doesn't feel that way now.
But have you ever had such bad thoughts after a loss, or?
I have bad thoughts after a win.
Thank you, Mike. Cheers, man.
welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I trust that you all are having a fabulous week. It is, again, Wednesday, February 17th. Got to remind you all before we push along here on the show that tonight, if you want to be a part of our live studio audience here at the WKAR TV studios, you know that we record Current Sports TV each and every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Tonight, I will be sitting down with, really, Michigan baseball royalty. His name is Jake Boss Sr. Yes, he is the father of the current head coach of the Michigan State baseball team, Jake Boss Jr. And folks, man, we are just a few weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting, right? Crazy. I can't believe I'm saying that. But to get us in the baseball mood, we will invite Boss Sr. to give his unprecedented thoughts on the upcoming baseball year and even some thoughts on the Michigan State baseball team. So you don't want to miss that. If you want to be a part of the live studio audience, all you have to do is sign up online for free at WKAR.org and then simply show up. You know, I want to start today's show by talking about the comments that you just heard from Ronda Rousey, who is really the face of UFC today, despite the loss to Holly Holm, one that no one saw coming, including Ronda Rousey herself. She is still the face of the sport. But she had some interesting comments, and they were so riveting that I want to actually go back and play them again because I had to do a double take first off when I went back on my phone and started to read the article detailing what Ronda had to say on the Ellen DeGeneres show concerning that fight. And she went on to sort of talk about how the fight began. We just played a really brief snippet of I guess you could say the most riveting moment of the conversation. But before that, Ellen, she did a great job of sort of asking Ronda what her pre-fight thoughts were, what her thoughts were as the fight went on. And there was a riveting moment in which Ronda detailed when she first got hit in that first round and how she was knocked out ideally right there in that moment, but her feet didn't fall. And, you know, she started to deal with problems with her depth perception. She really couldn't tell how far Holly Holm was from her. And, you know, she couldn't panic, though, because, you know, in fighting, if you panic and if your opponent sees any sort of signs of weakness, they're going to pounce on you. But, you know, that very first hit from Holm knocked her out. She didn't really know where she was, but she knew she was still in the fight. She didn't know how far Holly was from her, but she had to keep her composure. And, you know, she made a comment that she was there, but she wasn't there. So I don't even know if she really felt the kick from Holly Holm that really ended things. She was sort of in a daze, and her recount of the fight is very fuzzy. She barely even remembers the fight, to be honest. But as she went on to detail that, Ellen asked her, of course, you know, what were her thoughts after the fight? What went wrong? Why was this fight different? And Ronda, of course, let this cat out the bag.
No, to be honest, like, what I was thinking, like, my thought, I was like, in the medical room, and I was, like, down in the corner. I was sitting in the corner, and I was like, what am I anymore if I'm not this? And I was literally sitting there and, like, thinking about killing myself in that exact second. I'm like, I'm nothing. I'm like, what do I do anymore? And no one gives a shit about me anymore without this. And
wow. Quote, literally sitting there thinking about killing myself. In that exact second, I'm like, I'm nothing. What do I do anymore? You know, it was a riveting conversation, and you could see Ronda tear up as soon as she started to detail that moment after the fight. And, you know, Ellen really, you know, praised Ronda for even coming out. And she didn't have to share that. I mean, you know, rarely do we see athletes just in general open up that personal side of them. And Ronda, you know, she laid her emotions on the table for the world to see yesterday. But I just think that we get caught up in sports sometimes and watching the physical prowess of what these guys do, these men and women, what they do on the court that we sometimes look at them as superheroes, like nothing can defeat them, right? We sort of put them on a pedestal. I know growing up, you know, I always detail how, you know, Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan, they were my idols growing up. And you didn't think that anything could get to them. But when they do suffer defeat and you see them vulnerable, it sort of wakes you up and slaps you in the face and makes you realize that these are also human beings. They've got blood running through their veins just like you and I do. And they have human emotions. Now, I can only imagine, again, in her 12-fight history at the UFC level, this is a woman who's never lost, who doesn't know what it is to lose. She's a woman who's on just every single magazine, sports magazine there is. The world adores her. The world has put Ronda Rousey, up until that loss to Holly Holm, on a pedestal that no one could defeat her. And previous up to that, I mean, you can understand it as well. I mean, Ronda Rousey was knocking out her opponents in under a minute on a regular basis. I mean, phenomenal. But when you lose, when you are on top of the world, everyone loves you. But when you lose and you have to experience defeat for the first time, and it was, looking back at that moment as well, because as soon as she lost, first off, it shocked me. And I went on social media, and you know how cruel the world is, especially with social media. Cowards hiding behind keyboards is what Tom Izzo likes to call it. But many people going on Instagram and poking fun at Ronda Rousey, you know, taking a picture, a snapshot, if you will, of the kick to her face and cracking jokes left and right. These are things that definitely Ronda Rousey saw. And she did fall into a deep state of depression. ESPN did a great job of profiling her moments after that fight, in which she went on a family vacation and she just stayed in her cabin for week after week after week with her phone off. And, you know, I think it was a wake-up call to a lot of people to hear Ronda Rousey say the words, literally sitting there thinking about killing myself, that it really put a lot of things in perspective. It certainly did. I'm rooting for Ronda. I'm really hoping, and I really think she will get out of this funk, without a doubt. I mean, she's on the cover of Sports Illustrated's newest edition of the swimsuit issue. I know she's filming a movie, currently in the process of filming a movie. But I also, when looking at this hype surrounding around Ronda Rousey, and it's the same kind of thought process that I had when watching Serena Williams rise in the ranks of sports as a woman. You know, you get all this attention, you know, especially in women's sports, which doesn't get nearly as much attention as male sports professionally in America. You know, you get all this attention, you're in movies, you're doing different shoots, you're hosting Saturday Night Live, that I question whether or not Ronda Rousey's focus was completely there entering that matchup against Holly Holm. I mean, because you're filming movies, you have your attention in so many different areas that how can you legitimately dedicate the time that you want to what got you there in the first place? I'm rooting for, I really look forward to the match against Holly Holm, and it's great to see Ronda in a healthy state of mind, because she certainly wasn't after that fight. Folks, we got a great show as we move along here. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before I profile two great games in the world of high school hoops from here in Michigan last night, I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance, to the show. Isaac, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Al. Yeah, very upsetting to hear Ronda Rousey's comments. I thought it was so cool and important that we got Mike Tyson's perspective on all of this too, because we know fighters, not only is it a game which is physically tolling, but mentally, you take so many shots to your head, for one, that definitely affects the way you think. It's easier to get high, it's easier to get low, different things like that. And Mike Tyson is someone who has experienced all the fluctuations of mental state as a boxer, as a professional fighter. So I thought it was great to get his take as well on that. But for Ronda Rousey, you know, she's a role model to so many people, especially young girls. She coined several phrases and that are really designed to get people out of the house and performing, doing exercise or just bettering themselves. So for her to reach such a low state, it's upsetting to see not only the impact it would have on her, but other people as well.
Without a doubt. You know, she is a role model. And I think her opening up and detailing her thoughts of possibly committing suicide, I agree with Ellen. You know, as soon as she said it, Ellen came out and said, you know what? You possibly may have saved a life out there. Someone watching that interview and saying, you know, I want to give up. I mean, she may have saved a life with just opening up and being herself and being so candid and emotional on camera. So really rooting for Ronda Rousey, but that was certainly riveting stuff. But again, it puts in perspective that these athletes are humans as well, folks. I mean, they just aren't superheroes. And I think that's something that's a perception that many people have out there when watching any sporting event for that matter. And again, yeah, Mike Tyson is a guy who certainly experienced defeat in his career. And that was from TMZ Sports. They caught Mike coming out and heading to his car and asked him about, you know, what advice he would give to Ronda. And he had some encouraging words to say as well. Folks, phone lines are open 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to talk really briefly here, high school basketball action from last night. I actually went out to Okemos High School to check out Okemos. Jeff Wanch, who's the head boys basketball coach there, he's a fantastic guy, and he's had some pretty good squads over the years as well, going against Carlton Valentine and his Lansing Sexton Big Red team. And, you know, it's so crazy because I walked into the gym at Okemos, and, you know, with the squad that Lansing Sexton has this year, they've really, really been struggling. Really been struggling. You know, entering that matchup last night, they had only one conference win in the CAAC Blue, which is just a really tough conference to compete in. And with that being said, Okemos, with, you know, they said at what, 3-7 entering that matchup last night. I really expected Okemos to you know, have a lead when I entered that gym around the second quarter. But I looked up at the scoreboard, and Sexton was up by double digits, and I had to do a double take. I mean, Sexton was playing really good basketball. Then the second half hit, and Okemos stormed out the gates. They turned up the defensive pressure. They were looking to run after every single missed or made Sexton shot, and Sexton was stifled. And Okemos was able to pull out that dub in the waning moments, actually a 46-40 win over Lansing Sexton. And, you know, watching that game, you know, I looked over to the sidelines of Carlton Valentine, and what really surprised me, this is just the mantra of a good coach here. He didn't panic. He didn't panic whatsoever. He preached, you know, the message that he that's been around his squads for years and years to come. I mean, this is a man who's won state championships. If you remember, with his son Denzel, who balls out now for the MSU men's basketball team, but they won back-to-back championships with Denzel Valentine. Trevor Emmanuel was a freshman on one of those squads. Anthony Clemens, Brent Forbes, he knows how to win. And he encouraged his team to still play the right way, even with Okemos storming back. But here is actually Jeff Wanch on that win last night and what it meant for his team to pull out that dub after being down, again, double digits at the half. So, Coach, what changed in that third quarter?
You know, I think we kind of had a heart-to-heart at halftime about our effort level and just, you know, what toughness really means. And I thought the guys responded really well. And, you know, it's the kind of team I have. They do respond well, and they are a bunch of good kids.
What did you preach to them in that toughness dialogue? What specifically did you tell them?
You know, I just thought we were real soft when it came to turning the ball over and giving them second shots. And you can't give a team like Sexton second shots. They got some good bigs inside, and if you don't take care of that, they're going to beat you.
Jeff, as the year moves on for you guys now, I mean, I know it's been a really tough conference schedule, a lot of good teams within this conference. I mean, what's it like competing in the Blue on a nightly basis?
Oh, it's great. And, you know, we know we're seeing some of the best basketball in the area. And we're just trying to be the best we can possibly be when this season comes to an end so that we can maybe make a run in the district or just be the best team we can be. You know, that's the exciting thing about high school basketball is everybody, you know, you have a chance at the end. Everyone's going to the tournament, and, you know, really, on a given night, anyone can beat anybody. So,
what improvements did you see from your team?
I saw them respond when it came to toughness. And, you know, if a team's willing to do that, then, you know, sky's the limit.
I know you guys have everyone in the conference has a pretty close relationship as far as coaches as well. I mean, You know, Carlton going through a rough year here, 1-9, I believe, on the conference season. I mean, what have you seen from Sexton, though? What did you see from them? And are they a better team than what they've shown record-wise this season?
Yeah, you know, I thought they've had some tough luck. You know, just there's been a lot of games where they were in right at the end and it just didn't work out for them. But we've had some of those games, too. And, you know, it's just the way basketball season goes. But he's doing a great job with those guys.
Again, that was Jeff Wines, who is the head coach of the Okemos High School boys basketball team. Okemos on the year sits overall 6-10, 4-7 in the CAAC Blue Conference. Sexton falls to 1-10 now on the year. They're actually tied with Lansing Eastern, who's at the bottom of the barrel as well, at 1-10 on the conference season. So, you know, Isaac, what I find so intriguing about high school hoops and why I love it is that even though you may have a rough, you know, regular season, the thing that makes it so intriguing is because every single team in the state still has an opportunity to possibly change things around and make a run maybe in the district tourney. It doesn't matter what your record is, every squad still makes the postseason. I got to ask you, do you like that formula when it comes to high school hoops?
I love it. I think it really helps teams turn around a bad season. It can negate the effect if an unfortunate injury takes a toll on a team early in the season, especially with a lot of these players being dual sport athletes who come over from football. So they might be absent for the first few weeks of a season. I love the fact that every team has the opportunity to get it together as the season goes along. And I think later form as the season progresses is the most important part anyway. Actually, saw that in New Orleans last night, too. I got to give a shout out to my high school.
I saw your Snapchat.
My high school.
Right.
Finished District 4A champions. I can't believe it. But anyway, I think it's a good sign for high schools if they can pull it together later. And if they can, they deserve to be in the state playoffs or district playoffs, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I saw that on your Snapchat. You were actually going nuts in the library, I think, right?
I was.
Pretty cool stuff. What's the name of your high school?
Ben Franklin High School, New Orleans, Louisiana.
Are they historically good at hoops?
No, we historically stink. And that's what's so special about. We never had a winning record for probably 10 straight years. And this year, the team just pulled it together. And we're 21-4 at the moment, 22-4. Mm-hmm. We're excellent, number one in the state in our district, or in our class 4A. So it's really something special for the team. And it's just a group of guys who have played together since their freshman year. Nobody's over 6'2", but it's just a really cohesive unit and led by teamwork and a little bit of skill. So it's really exceptional.
Very cool stuff. And I got to ask, out in Louisiana, does every high school hoop team make the postseason as well? Is that the same formula as here in Michigan, or is it different?
It's a little bit different. It varies from district to district, but usually most teams do make the playoffs, but you need to have at least, I believe, one or two wins within your class.
Okay, so a bit different then. Okay, I also want to shout out Steve Finnemore and his East Lansing boys basketball team. What a game it was last night. I did not attend that one. Again, I was at Okemos, but on my drive back to edit to the station, I tuned in to Eric Docklove and Jesse Goldberg-Strassler, who are certainly friends of the show. They were calling the action in Grand Ledge, and what a game. It came down to the wire, folks. And two things needed to happen. East Lansing needed to handle business and beat Grand Ledge, but they also needed to bank on an Everett loss. And I believe, can we look this up, Isaac? I believe Everett played Holt last night, and I think Holt won its fifth straight. Want to double check on that, but Everett did end up losing, therefore opening the door for the East Lansing boys basketball team to clinch the CAAC conference championship outright. It wasn't easy, though, folks. It was not easy at all. I mean, Josh Horford for Grand Ledge, he scored 14 points. Luke Smith, he added 9 points for GL. Horton Pankow, how great was he? He had 13 points. I believe DeAndre Robinson, he was big, huge for East Lansing last night. Caleb Hofstra, you know, who's been given the green light by Steve Finnemore. Hey, Finnemore has given this kid the green light, and he struggled. He struggled throughout much of that game last night. Much of, I would say, probably the first three quarters of that game. But he hit a three-pointer with under 2 minutes remaining to give East Lansing the lead, and EL did did not give it up, and they went on to win that game, a 64-54 nail biter at Grand Ledge High School to capture the conference outright crown. Congratulations to Steve Finnemore. What a moment. What a moment in GL, Isaac.
Yeah, it really was. And I was fortunate enough to catch the first leg of this matchup held at East Lansing. And that was a really good game as well for the first half. And then East Lansing just pulled away in the second half. Brandon Johns and company just ran with it. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me that East Lansing won this game, especially you look at their record, undefeated on the season. I saw a quote from Steve Finnemore saying basically that they're 0-0 right now still, saying every game's a new one. Mm-hmm. But they're not 0-0. They're 15-0. This is an incredible team. And when all cylinders are firing, watch out, because these guys can put up points in minutes. Like you mentioned, Caleb Hoekstra is one of the sharpest shooters in the CAAC.
He is.
Across any of the conferences. And then Brandon Johns, of course, is going to go to some big D1 school. And in addition, last night, I don't think either of those guys, from what I'm reading, are even the main one. DeAndre Robinson netted a team-high 19 points for them. Mm-hmm. So East Lansing is dangerous and prolific in so many different areas, so it doesn't surprise me that they were able to capture that late run late in order to win this game.
Definitely, and looking at the box score, yeah, DeAndre Robinson had 19 points. Caleb Hoekstra, only 6 points, but they were a big six. And then three of those, getting that big three-pointer to give East Lansing the lead for good. Gabe Horton-Pankow, 15 points. Malik Jones chipped in with 8. But again, you know, they stifled off an effort from Josh Orfer, 14 points for him. Malik Adams, 22 points for him. Just a really fantastic game last night. But this is an East Lansing team that I think can really win it all. And I love the philosophy that Coach Finnemore coaches with his squad. He keeps everything loose, but also intense, which is very hard to do as a coach, but he has certainly mastered it. So congratulations to Steve Finnemore and the East Lansing Trojans. Again, they are your champions in the CAAC Blue Conference. Let's hear our first break. When we come back, we will chat with the athletic director at Okemos High School, Ira Childress. He's got a big announcement to make. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. He is on a tight schedule, so we're going to bring on our guest for today's Current Sports right now. He is the athletic director at Okemos High School. Ira Childress now joins us on the line. Ira, how are you doing, my friend? It was good seeing you last night.
Hey, Al, it's good seeing you as well. I know you guys are continuing to do good work because every time I'm out and about in the community, I hear about some of the things you're doing over at WKAR and Current Sports as well. So keep up the good work.
Oh, that is fantastic. That certainly warms our hearts over here. Thank you so much, Ira. But you know what? I didn't let the cat out the bag to start today's show. I want you to do the honors because there is a pretty special event happening at Okemos High School around 6 p.m. tonight. What is it?
Yeah, we have the grand opening of our strength and conditioning center here at OHS. We're really excited about it. It's going to be the epicenter for our student athletes and students to work out and train and really get involved in what we call strength and conditioning training. And you know, that's kind of changed over the years. Now it's much more involved than it was back in the day when you and I were doing it.
Now, I got to ask, Ira, how did this addition to the school come about, and why did you feel a need for this addition?
Yeah, we just felt like, the school is 20 years old, and, you know, our current weight room was okay, but we felt like it needed an upgrade. And we felt like that this could really help our student athletes in all the different sports that they're in, from a training and strength and conditioning aspect. And we also felt like it can really help our PE classes, because they'll be using the facilities as well. So we felt like it was a win-win for everyone. So it was just something that we felt was necessary to do.
Ira, what makes this strength and conditioning center stand out compared to others at different schools?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what others have, but I would say what makes it stand out to us is that not only you have your standard, you know, weights that every strength and conditioning center has, but also we have a lot of functional space, a space in there that you can do a lot of different from plyometrics to speed training and that sort of thing. We also have turf in there. So, we have a turf strip, so you can do some things on the turf, which is nice. We have the battle ropes. We have just a lot of different things from a technology standpoint. We have really, really good technology in there. You can hook up not only from Wi-Fi, you have the phones, and you can get into different music you want to listen to via the phone. And then we have the computer in there, so you can you know hook up the program on the screens. We have screens in there. I mean, when you guys come out tonight, you're going to be in for a treat.
That is pretty cool stuff. So how big is it, Ira?
You know what? It is about more than double our old one. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not huge, but I would say it's approximately 5,000 square feet.
So I got to ask, Ira, do you think this facility will give your student athletes a leg up on the competition? Because not every school has this.
I do, and it's not even necessarily like, hey, we're going to, trying to go against anybody in particular. I just think it'll give us a leg up in general, because anytime you have this type of facility, it is really going to help you in your strength training and obviously your speed training, and you're able to do things that we weren't able to do before. And I really do think it's going to help all of our athletic teams, and again, also our physical education classes. So, yes. We're really, Al, you probably can tell in my voice, we're excited about it.
Without a doubt. I can hear it bleeding through the phone, my man. So with the ceremony that's taking place tonight at 6 p.m., you guys will be cutting the ribbon and opening up officially. Is this open to the public? Can they come out and check it out?
The public can come out and check it out, yep. We're going to be opening up officially tonight, and we're going to have a ribbon cutting. And it's just going to be a really, really cool, neat night. We have alums there, as well as current student athletes, as well as staff and members of the Okemos community, just to get an opportunity to see this new project that we've been working on, and see the new strength and conditioning center. And we're really excited.
Now, Ira, when you and I chatted last night, I mentioned to you that you are certainly pushing the envelope since, of course, being hired a few years ago as the Okemos High School Athletic Director. Not only are you opening up this really, one-of-a-kind strength and facility center at Okemos High School, but there was also a big announcement that occurred not too long ago that you all will be sponsored the all-school contract with Adidas. How did that come about?
Yeah, that was something that they had approached us about a couple years ago, and we kind of decided to hold off then, and then it came up again, and we said, hey, you know what, we'll look into it, and that's a really big deal that we're excited about, because the thing with that is it's going to not only give us a unified look, which is something that's important to us. We want to be looked at as a team, a collective team, but also is going to save our booster club who purchases our uniform, is going to save them money from that standpoint. So it's a cost savings and also gives us a unified look, so to speak. So it's a win-win for everybody involved with the new Adidas contract, which starts July 2016. So this July is coming up. So yeah, we're excited about all the different things that are going on here, Al. I mean, a few years ago, we got a new track. We got new scoreboards. In June, we're getting a new rubber gym floor. We have, as you know, we just finished up with the first class of the Okemos Athletic Hall of Fame. So So there's a lot of great things going on, and I want to say on record, you know, I'm happy to be a part of it, but it's not just me. We have so many great people in this community, so many teachers, staff. We have great leadership in Cassie Ashley, our superintendent, our principal, Christine Sermack. Everyone, it's a collective group of everyone here pulling the rope in the same direction and helping getting things done.
Yeah, you certainly have a outstanding team around you, Ira. And before we get you out of here, one last question for you, because I'm curious to hear your response on this. I want to know how important branding is at the high school level. And do you think the Okemos athletic brand is shifting really into a new chapter and could have an impact on possibly the schools around Michigan to look at what you guys are doing and say, hey, we need to strive to be like that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if the other schools will say that or not, but I just, you know, being introspective and kind of looking at what we're doing, I'm excited about it. You know, from a branding standpoint, I think branding is a little bit more important in college, but I do think it's important to, I do believe in a unified look. I mean, I think, you know, from a brand identity standpoint, as far as looking like a team and everyone kind of looking together and sharpening their uniforms and that sort of thing. I think that brings about unity. You know, you feel like, hey, look, we all look the same. We're all on the same page, and we know we're in this together as a team. You know, and I'm a big team person, so I like that aspect of it. And you know, and also, you know, Adidas is a great brand. We're happy to be associated with them from a competitive standpoint. Obviously, they sponsor a lot bigger programs than us. You know, being in college, and obviously, you know, I think they're the main sponsor for the NBA as well. So they do a great job, and we're happy to be associated with them. And I'm really happy, for our student athletes, and our student athletes are going to get, obviously get good product with Adidas, and then the biggest thing is it's also going to save us money.
Oh, gotta love that! When can we see a preview of the new jerseys, the new Adidas jerseys, Ira?
Yeah, this fall they'll be coming out. You know, with our first teams, I think our boys soccer team will have theirs in early August. So we'll definitely have to either bring somebody to Corn Sports Studios, you guys come over and check it out because they're going to be really nice, and we couldn't be happier for that.
Exciting times at Okemos High School, ladies and gents. Again, Ira Childress, Okemos High School Athletic Director. They will be opening and revealing, I should say, their new strength and conditioning facility tonight at 6 p.m. Ira, thanks so much for your time, my man.
Hey, Al, I appreciate it. You guys are going to be out there tonight, right?
You know it. We will be getting footage of the unveiling and actually putting it on our website for everybody to check out.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Al.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll talk about a new acquisition from the Detroit Pistons. Also, the Michigan men's basketball team fell to its rival last night, Ohio State, and Kirk Cousins and the Redskins. Break contract talks, all of that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up a chat with Okemos High School Athletic Director Ira Childress detailing a pretty cool event taking place tonight at 6 p.m. as Okemos High School will unveil its new strength and conditioning center. Oh, boy, I tell you what, Ira certainly has been pushing the needle. I mean, to get a sponsorship with Adidas, you know, new strength and conditioning center, I mean, new jerseys, Adidas gear. I mean, very cool stuff to say the least. And I can only imagine if my high school had anything like that, Isaac, I may be losing my mind, dude. I mean, I already had a big head back in high school. It probably would have went through the roof if I had a new Adidas gear to sport. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. And then a new weight facility and everything like that. Gosh, can't say it would have gotten to my head. I'd probably just be a little bit bigger. So, no, I'm jealous. I mean, no, it's not
how
like
can
you
can't
where I'm
be
like,
jealous,
oh,
though. I mean, that's very. We didn't have like. I don't even know what our jersey. I think ours were made of like Russell Athletics.
I think Russell Athletics. Too.
You know what I mean? I don't. We didn't have any Nike sponsorships or any Adidas sponsorships, but very cool stuff though. And also shout out to Desmond Ferguson at Everett. I know his very own athletic apparel company sponsors Everett Athletics, or at least a basketball team, I know, but Moneyball Sportswear is something that he's constantly pubbed and now brought that to Everett. So anytime you can brand yourself, because we talk a lot about branding at the professional level and the collegiate level, but rarely do we talk about it at the high school level. And I think it's pushing the envelope anytime you can do that, if you have the finances to do that, because not every school at the end of the day does have finances to do that. But,
and the communities of these schools just rally around it, too.
Right,
so if you
right.
can get that branding on a jersey, then that extends to the T-shirts you sell to parents and all of that. So it's really a good source of revenue for the schools and builds a sense of community as well.
Definitely. Folks, the phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Before we move on to our next talking topic here, I want to bring up, of course, our top 10 movie competition, sports movie competition. Of course, the Oscars are taking place at the end of February, and in honor of the Oscars, we are winding down our top 10 movies, eventually crowning the number one sports movie of all time, according to you, our listeners. That's right, folks. So far, we've got the Rocky series moving on. Hoosiers has now moved on. And this week, we've got the Raging Bull taking on the Mighty Ducks. And so far, the vote count is 3-1. The Mighty Ducks in the lead. Raging Bull, this could be an upset here, Isaac, because Raging Bull is on that list as our number three movie. The Mighty Ducks sitting at the number 7th slot. So if you want to vote on one of those movies, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. While we're at it, I mean, we're also taking votes from our PAs who work day in and day out here on the show. We have Andrea Urban and Seth Kinker working with us on the show. I want to know. I don't even know. It's so funny because on yesterday's show, well, throughout this whole week, who do we have yesterday? We had Connor was on the show, right?
Yep.
I believe, was it Mike? Where am I
Mike
tripping?
Was, yes.
Mike was on as well, and they both didn't see Raging Bull. They both haven't seen it. You
so.
Haven't seen it either? I don't think so. I don't think Seth or I don't know if you guys have seen it. Andrea saying she haven't seen it, so I'm guessing your guys' vote is going to go to the Mighty Ducks, Seth?
Yeah. Well,
he says, well, yeah, yeah. So two more Mighty Ducks votes? That's crazy. People need to check out The Raging Bull. It's an amazing, amazing movie. Robert De Niro, I think some of his best work. We're getting a call right now, so call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I really do believe that if more people have really seen Raging Bull, I think that we would have a ton more votes for Raging Bull. It's really that good. I'm only going with Mighty Ducks just because it was my childhood and I got to stick up for the 90s, all right? So shout out to the 90s. Moving on here, the Detroit Pistons, folks, really, they have gotten ahead of the curve when it comes to the trade deadline. The trade deadline for the NBA will be tomorrow at 3 p.m., Thursday at 3 p.m. But the Pistons and the Orlando Magic decided to dive in the pool a bit earlier than everyone else. And Tobias Harris is now a member of the Detroit Pistons. That's right. The Pistons gave up Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova. And they will be dining the blue out in Orlando. And now we have another forward to the roster of the Pistons. You know, initially, when I saw this move, I got to be honest, I was not big on it. I was not big on it whatsoever because the initial thought that came to mind and the first name that rung out in my bell was, of course, Brandon Jennings, who before Brandon Jennings got injured with that Achilles injury, he was playing top basketball, folks. One of the top five guards in the league before he got injured. Now, he's just getting acclimated to coming back right now, just coming back from the injury, trying to find out where he fits in the lineup. Of course, he wasn't a starter as of yet. You know, Stan Van said he has to earn his spot. You know, he had a few gems, but, you know, but you could just tell that he's still trying to just get back in the flow of things. And then all of a sudden, he gets traded. So that was my initial quarrel with this move. I felt like Stan Van wasn't giving Brandon Jennings a fair shot coming off the injury. You know, wait a bit and see if he can find a some way to mix into this guard play that encompasses, of course, Reggie Jackson and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. But that didn't happen. But when I look at the contracts that are on the current Pistons roster right now, I totally understand where Stan Van is going here. I definitely do. First off, when you mention a guy like Reggie Jackson, he's a guy who can certainly score. We've seen Reggie completely take over games, but what worries me with Reggie is just being consistent throughout four quarters. But Reggie Jackson is certainly a solid guard. Solid guard, and you get him signed until 2020. So you got him signed to a pretty much a long-term deal here. 5 years, $80 million. A lot of years here. So you get him till 2020. Then you move down the line here. You get Marcus Morris till 2019. So a year less than Reggie Jackson's contract. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is signed until 2017. So I totally understood here where Stan was going, because Brandon Jennings, again, this was the final year on his contract, and Ersan Ilyasova, I wasn't big on Ersan Ilyasova. Ersan Ilyasova is a guy, if Ersan didn't get involved early in the game, he would kind of teeter off. He was a guy that you can certainly market. So I wasn't surprised that he was a part of this deal. But with Brandon Jennings, you only get him for 1 year, then you have to restructure his contract. Another thing I want people to realize here is that with the new TV contract in the NBA here, folks, the cap for every team in the league will rise. Everyone will have cap space this summer to play with. And that's why this deal is really a home run for the Pistons. The Pistons have essentially made their free agency score without getting into a free agency period that brings some of the really the nuttiest bidding wars, I think, in league history. I think we're going to see a lot. Now, we thought we saw a lot of them last year. With this cap rising, Isaac, I really think a lot of people are going to have a lot. They're predicting for a lot more money to play with this summer. So why not go for broke here during this period? I think we're only seeing, you know, we're just seeing the beginning things with this move from the Pistons and the Orlando Magic. But the cap space will really make an unprecedented leap to at least, what, $90 million? That's what people are projecting in July, leaving teams with a heap of space and not enough quality veterans to spend it on. And that's the problem that I foresee in this whole thing. Dwight Howard is a name that is being brought up now. And isn't it ironic? It's to go on Dwight Howard, first off. Dwight Howard, the most overrated center of all time. The most underachieving center of not he used to be the most overrated. Now people see what he truly is. He's the most underachieving center of all time, in my opinion. He's got this just crazy body, this crazy size, uber muscular, yet he goes out there night in and night out and gives you weak performances. I do not know how Dwight Howard has ideally lasted this long in the league, but I just don't get how a man of his size can go out there and put up average numbers. I just do not get it. But he is now on the trading block. That's what's being, you know, reported out of the Rockets camp. And, you know, it's being said that maybe he could join forces with Chris Bosh, who really praying for Chris Bosh. I know he's going through another blood clot stint right now. He's just coming off one. I know he's taking a leave of absence right now from play on the hardwood. Really rooting for that guy. But he could possibly link up. It's being said, it's on the rumor mill, that maybe the Miami Heat will sign him. Who knows if that'd be a good fit. I feel like I've sung that song before. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at it. You know, Dwight Howard and James Harden. Oh, yeah. Competing for championships. No, I'm done with that song. But anyway, but when looking at, you know, teams in this trade deadline, there is going to be a lot of money to play around with. The fact of the matter is looking for that quality and looking for what your team specifically needs. So with this move with the Pistons, you get Andre Drummond. You have Marcus Morris, Tobias Harris. That's a pretty good front line. I love that front line, and you throw on Reggie Jackson and KCP. That is a solid front line mixed with two guards who can score. I like that a lot, Isaac. I really do.
I'm crazy about this move, and I have a few complaints that I'll air first, and it's simply the fact that I liked Brandon Jennings. I know he didn't have the best season. It's coming off a big injury.
I love Brandon.
But even so, I'm crazy about the guy. I like point guards who can score while still being team leaders and unselfish. I feel like Brandon Jennings is one of the few. I'm not as convinced by Reggie Jackson, but let me tell you what I love about this move. It's that Now the Pistons, four of their five starters going forward, are 23 or below. Or four of the five are 25 or below.
Right.
Reggie
They're
Jackson,
yeah.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You've got now, you've got, of course, Tobias Harris and then Andre Drummond. And then in the future, that will be Stanley Johnson as well, who is, in my opinion, a future star. So this is a great move for the Pistons, especially since the cap situation, like you mentioned, it'll balloon next year. So Tobias' contract does not look that great right now. 4 years, $64 million. But going forward, $16 million for a player of his caliber is nothing. And this is a guy who, unlike Hassan Ilyasova, can create his own shot in the paint and outside, and he'll contribute on the glass as well.
Yeah, he was a solid contributor when he was at Orlando as well. So overall, I like the move, and I think long-term for the Pistons to have some consistent success, I think this was a smart move without a doubt. Stan Van Gundy certainly making guys like me look like idiots. So 517-355-9527. You know what? Never mind. Phone lines are actually closed. We only have 3 minutes left in the show. Time flies when you're having fun. We had a caller, Isaac. Was that for anything?
Yeah, we had a few votes for Raging Bull, including one that's behind the glass with us right now, Peter Wharf, station manager,
nice.
Who voted for Raging Bull and was quite upset about our current vote sitting. So he said he was apoplectic, I think. Correct. So, yeah, he's got his arms raised behind the glass right now.
I see
now.
Him.
And then also we had Zandy from Lansing say essentially the same thing.
Okay, so with those votes, it's now Mighty Ducks 5, Raging Bull 4. So it's going to be a battle. Now we have a fight here. Now we have a battle moving forward. Okay. Got to love that. Yeah, if you haven't seen Raging Bull, it's a fantastic movie. Robert De Niro was absolutely fantastic in that movie. Again, I'm just rooting for my childhood here. I like Mighty Ducks. So really brief thoughts here, Isaac, with just 2 minutes left. We'll dive into more in this during tomorrow's show. But the Michigan men's basketball team, without Caris LeVert, yet again, they lose to their rival, the Ohio State Buckeyes. You know, I'm really not buying Caris LeVert right now with this whole injury thing. I don't know. I'm looking at some reports. He's been practicing. You know, he's looked good. Why isn't he out there? I mean, you see your team reeling like this. I mean, he hasn't played 1 minute. I don't know. I may be going with a conspiracy theory here to start tomorrow's show, which you have to wait for. But I'm not buying Caris LeVert not playing, not being able to play 1 minute right now.
Well, he actually did return a few games ago. I'm trying to remember against
did
who.
He?
Was it Purdue, I believe, possibly? But
he
anyway,
played against Purdue.
I believe so, or one of the few teams 2 games back from Michigan. But
why isn't he playing last night? I mean, I don't get
this.
That's
why I'm wondering.
I don't get this.
I think John Beilein might think that maybe this team is better off without him at the moment. I posed that theory a little while ago just because it forces everybody to step up. Caris LeVert, before he left, led this team in rebounds, assists, and points.
Well,
so,
I'm looking here,
him.
And it was actually LeVert's call to sit. Beilein had this to say, quote, yeah, I don't know his condition. It's like somebody with the flu. You don't know how bad they're feeling. He's a tough kid. If he's not in pain, he's going to play. When you get into a game like that, like the other day, he was after it. Intense. What does that mean? How do you not know how healthy he is? I don't know. I'll save my rant for tomorrow's show, but unfortunately, we are out of time, ladies and gents. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Ira Childress. Take care and be easy, people.